Blog Talk Radio.
Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tinnell. Happy Easter to everyone. We'd love to remind everyone that if you have a question or comment tonight, please dial 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. And please press the option to speak with the host. We'll get your question and comment on the air. Also, you can join us on Twitter as we tweet as while we're talking, and the hashtag is #PoundBeautyTalk, #PoundBeautyLounge. And so now I'm going to turn it over to Denise, who has beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the beauty news. Just very briefly, I wanted to give a little bit of news before I really get into what I really want to talk about tonight. Beauty brand Japanesque is acquired. San Francisco Equity Partners has added the brand to its beauty portfolio. SFEP, San Francisco Equity Partners, has acquired the beauty tools and cosmetics brand Japanesque, which has a long history in creating beauty products inspired by the professional makeup tools used in kabuki theater in Japan. The product line includes makeup brushes, eyelash curlers, tweezers, makeup cases, and other beauty accessories. The company also launched Color Cosmetics, which can be found at retailers in the prestige beauty, drug, and mass channels. We see significant opportunity for growth on both the Japanese branded tools and recently launched Color Cosmetics line in the beauty channel, particularly at Ulta, which is a big opportunity, said Scott Potter, managing partner at SFEP. We also see significant growth opportunities in taking the company's category management approach to managing the beauty tools and accessories program for large drugstore and mass retailers to additional customers, as well as continuing to grow with existing retail partners like CVS and Shoppers Drug Mart. Thought that was a little bit of interesting news.
Tell me again, who acquired them?
San Francisco Equity Partners.
Gotcha.
But you know how we are always talking about deregulation, in the United States, amongst the states. You know, there are different states that have threatened to deregulate licensing for the beauty industry.
Right.
Cosmetology licenses, nail licenses, barber licenses, esthetician licenses. And, everybody, depending on your state, has been in an uproar. And then evenly, there are some people who aren't even aware that this is even going on.
Correct.
There's some people out there who don't even know what that word deregulation means. And I think, with us being in the beauty industry, with anybody who's in the beauty industry, if you're a professional in the beauty industry, I think it's our responsibility to inform people and to continue to get the message out there about this whole deregulation thing and what's going on with it and how we can do our part in, protecting our licenses and protecting our customers as well as protecting ourselves.
Right.
And PBA, the Professional Beauty Association, is really focusing a lot of time and a lot of energy into this whole deregulation thing. And, and they have different programs for members to get involved in and just maintaining a certain level of professionalism within our industry. And in their recent magazine, PBA Pro, their April 2015 issue, there's a whole page or two on the whole deregulation topic. And I just wanted to read a little bit about that and just kind of get your thoughts on, you know, what you think about it. But it states, with the threat of deregulation becoming a reality, the Professional Beauty Association, PBA, has focused much of its attention on education and information surrounding this issue. Industry professionals, politicians, and the general public need to be informed and aware of the potential dangers that follow deregulation. In 2013, PBA launched the I Am a Professional, I Am Licensed as an effort to bring together industry professionals across the U.S. to send a clear message to clients, lawmakers, and the rest of the industry that licensing requirements are vitally important and crucial to the health and safety of the general public and the profession. And I think just in those two paragraphs alone, that says a lot.
Right.
I think that says a lot. And so it then goes on to talk a little bit about being licensed. Obtaining a license signifies the start of your career and represents long hours, hard work, and extensive training. Not only do industry professionals learn the ins and outs of their field, they also study skin and scalp care, anatomy, biology, chemistry, and infection control. And a lot of this is pertaining to hairstylists, but mm-hmm. this also pertains to, you know, estheticians and nail technicians as well.
Right.
Licensed beauty professionals are trained to utilize chemicals and tools safely and efficiently. They are taught health, safety, and accountability, and it's important to keep laws and regulation in place to ensure client and stylist safety always come first. And, you know, and just reading that, it just made me think really quickly, you know, when you have a client that comes into your salon or a client that comes in for a facial or to get their nails done, they are trusting you to be the professional. They're trusting that because you have a license, you understand what you're doing and you know what you're doing. You know, they're trusting you to be able to carry out your, you know, your job professionally and just with the know-how. And there was something where it says they are taught health, safety, and accountability, and it's important to keep laws and regulations in place to ensure client and stylist safety always come first. A lot of times we don't think about that. We don't think about the laws that pertain to our licenses. We don't think about the laws that pertain to our industry. We don't think about the laws that pertain to, you know, safety and, you know, sanitation and things like that. Sometimes we don't think about that stuff until it's time to renew our licenses and we have to get those continuing education credits. So
right.
just as a professional, it's our responsibility to kind of stay up on a lot of that stuff, to educate ourselves, not just when it's time to renew our license, but, you know, if your license is renewed every 2 years, then those 2 years, it's your responsibility as a professional to get the training and the education that you need to stay up on your profession. And then it goes on to talk about the threat. The threat of industry deregulation is very real. And legislation that would deregulate the cosmetology industry has already been introduced in several states across the U.S. If deregulation were to become a reality, all industry professionals would be affected, service providers and salon owners to manufacturers and distributors. Industry standards would hit an all-time low. Consumers would likely run the greatest risk, being completely exposed to those individuals who practice cosmetology without the proper training, education, and license to prove it. With no regulatory boards or agencies to enforce the laws and safety standards currently upheld through licensing, there would be no one to report violations to, no safety codes to uphold, and the threat of spreading diseases and infection-causing bacteria would significantly increase. Endangering consumers and professionals, deregulation would mean stylists and salon owners would not be required to complete the necessary schooling, giving untrained professionals free rein to practice cosmetology on the public. Now, there's a couple of things that they mentioned that I wanted to point out, where they talked about with no regulatory boards or agencies to enforce the laws and safety standards. Just imagine if you walked into a salon and you saw a lot of things being done that you know were wrong, but yet you have no one, no state board to report that to. then that means you can do absolutely nothing about it. You have a choice, though. You have a choice to be serviced there or not to be. But if you wanted to put a stop to it, you couldn't.
Right.
You could not put a stop to all the things that go wrong in those establishments. You couldn't. Also, I just thought about, you know, how every once in a while, and especially this past year, you know, the big scare, the big threat was Ebola. And just imagine if there was some type of disease that was going around because of a lack of education, a lack of training, a lack of knowledge in the beauty industry as far as hair care was concerned, or, you know, aesthetics or nail care was concerned. Imagine if there was some type of disease that was going around because of that. Again, there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. The only thing that you can do about it is just make the choice to not be serviced. But think about all the things that go unsaid, not talked about, when you have people that are not licensed, that are performing these services. And there are a lot of clients who may go through a lot of stuff with that. Like there may be some people may, you know, get some type of infection or just something that goes wrong. You would not be able to report that. You would not be able to you just wouldn't be able to I mean, I don't even know how to put it in words. All the wrong that's done to you, you won't be able to do anything about it. I don't even know how to stress it enough of how much of an issue this is. And again, there are professionals out there with cosmetology licenses, and then again, you know, the nail technicians and the estheticians and the barbers, they all fall under a cosmetology license. They're just not aware.
I don't even know how much
more we can even stress it.
That's true. There's a lot, because I know there's a lot of people in the cosmetology industry that I speak to and mention, and they have no idea. And the sad thing about it is that there's a lot of people who've been in the beauty industry for years. They own salons, they work at salons, and they have no idea what's going on. So that tells you that no one's even involved in their industry in that way. So I think where it needs to start, though, honestly, I think where education and being informed about all of this needs to start is, I really feel like every licensed beauty professional should be a member of PBA. And then once you become a member, you can get the information. Now, what you do with the information is on you, but the information is given.
Exactly. And with PBA, they have that, you know, that movement that they've started, the I Am movement. And if you become a member of PBA, or if you're interested in becoming a member of PBA, please go out to probeauty.org/IM. You can go to probeauty.org, get information on how to become a member, and then you can go, while you're out there, go to the I Am section and you know, read a little bit more about this whole I Am movement, you know, with being a professional and being licensed, and really, you know, get involved and take part. Because even in your individual states, you can become a state captain. And whenever something comes down the pipeline, if you just hear about something, you can take it back to PBA. Or if PBA hears about something in your state, then they will send you information like emails and things like that, and let you know what's going on in your state, and you can contact, you know, your state senators, and you can write to email them and you know, stress to them how important it is that that we maintain these licenses. You know, there are ways that we can get involved, and sometimes it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to leave your house to get involved. It could be just as simple and easy as sending an email, getting all the licensed professionals that you know to send an email. But we have to do something to keep these licenses. If not, it's gonna be a mess. We're gonna be in trouble.
Absolutely. It doesn't affect the makeup artist necessarily in that way, because, you know, when I started doing makeup, I went to makeup school makeup artists didn't have to be licensed in most states. In the state of Maryland, we did. If you wanted to work like in a salon or at a counter, you had to be licensed. Now, maybe, I don't know how many years went by before they changed that, and now they just give you, the state of Maryland gives you a certification. So if you go to a makeup school, you just get a certification, not a license. All of this talk that they're talking about taking away licenses doesn't really affect makeup artists. But if you are a makeup artist with an esthetician's license, then it does affect you. So you have to pay attention to that.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. Again, that's PBA's website is probeauty.org.
Yes.
If you need more information on membership or all that's going on with that organization, please check them out. Memberships are only $50, so it's definitely worth the investment. You can write it off during tax time.
Right.
All right, so we wanted to move on to tonight's topic. I mean, that could have been a show all on its own, but we want to move on to tonight's topic, and we wanted to talk about the makeup artist's kit. And there's been a couple things this week that I've either seen on set, the set that I'm working on, or that I've saw on social media that led me to tonight's discussion. And I wanted to address, before I talk about the makeup artist's actual kit, the kit that they use to work out of, I wanted to talk about the set, your set bag or your set kit. So basically what you take to set is going to be a little different than what you have when you at your actual setup.
Right.
So, and I saw something on, I believe it was Instagram, and I think it was Bedellium Tools, they reposted somebody's post where it showed that somebody was on set. They had their set chair. They had a Zooka bag. And then they had the little, you know, the little mesh bags that are inside of the Zooka.
Oh, right.
They had one of those out on a little, there's a little table connected to their chair. So they had one of the Zooka bags out on the table. They had one, I believe it was like on the ground or somewhere else. They had their brush canister sitting there that had their brushes in it. And I was saying to myself, oh, my goodness, this person pretty much, what they have out on set with them looks like what would have been at, you know, when they would have had a set, you know, when they set up, either if it's on a makeup trailer or inside in a room. But, you know, when you set up, you kind of put out everything. And it made me realize that artists need to know what they need. Also, on our set, I'm noticing, like, sometimes when people come in and work with us as an additional, you just hire them just to cover set, they don't know what to bring. So I kind of wanted to address that first before talking about what should be in a makeup artist's kit. Because that's a question that I ask a lot of makeup artists when they come, on this show. Sometimes I'll ask our guests, what should a makeup artist have in their kit?
Right.
So I want to get back to that. But first I'm going to talk about the set bag. So when you're leaving your actual makeup setup, where you've done all the makeup on all of your clients, and now you're going to actually go to set. And I'm going to talk from a film and television makeup artist's perspective. So you've left your setup, and now you're going to set. All you need to do on set is do touch-ups. The full face of makeup is already done. So what do you include in your bag?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have actors that you've made up, you're going to include bags for them, you're going to include products for them and bags for them. So what I do is I have separate little cosmetic bags that includes their the makeup, some of the makeup that I've used. So, for instance, on a female actress, I would include a pressed powder. I would include glue for her lashes, just in case one of them are, you know, coming up. I would include her blush color. A lot of times I will put the eyeshadows that I use in a small palette, like one of those empty MAC palettes or some type of small palette, so something that's not too big, and I'll drop the shadows in there just in case if I need to touch up if this actress is going to be on set all day.
Right.
Most of the time, once you do that makeup and you get it like you want it, most of the time you really don't have to touch up in that area. But then there are some times when you may have to.
Right.
I will bring their liners, particularly for if I line their eyes on top, especially with the gel. I'll bring that. I'll bring their pencil liners. I'll bring whatever I use for their brows. But I keep all of that in a makeup bag. I'll take that bag and put it in my set bag.
And let me say this. So when you're saying makeup bag, what you're referring to is, for those of you out there listening who may have heard of this, like one of those Kim Green bags. If you have ever seen those, or you can go online and Google them and look at what her bags look like, then you'll know what type of bag we're talking about using. And it may not necessarily be a Kim Green bag. It doesn't have to be for that particular type of bag.
Right. Something that will fit inside of another bag. So, and that will have my actress's name and the actress's character name on the bag. For instance, if it was a male actor, I would just pretty much have a lip balm, a powder, maybe even an anti-shine product, and, you know, and some blot papers. And I would include those same things in the woman's bag. You know, it's just something simple but specific to them. For instance, if I have an actor who likes a specific lip balm, then it's going to go in his bag. I'm not going to use the lip balm that's in my set bag. I'll put everything, you know, that they may need. And I may even have a deodorant for them in their little individual personal bags.
Right.
Maybe some mints in their personal bags. But those bags would go into my set bag. Now, your set bag, whether you're doing an actress or not, or whether you're just coming in to work for the day and just to cover set, your set bag, to me, and Denise, I want you to add, you know, what you think as well, but your set bag, I feel like, should always have tissue. You should have some blot papers, lip balm, anti-shine. You should have some moisturizers. You should have lotion. You should have nail polish remover. And I always like the little individual packs.
Right.
I feel like you should have... just on the tip of my tongue, wipe for the face.
Right.
As well as just a regular wipe if you needed to, you know, wipe your hands or something. Sometimes a lot of people like to use like hand sanitizer, and that's good to have in your bag as well. But sometimes a lot of those sanitizers are heavily fragranced. And sometimes people have allergies or something where they're just not, you know, they just don't like a lot of fragrance. So, you know, when you're sanitizing your hands and then you're about to do somebody's makeup, sometimes that's not the best thing to use. So really just having a regular wipe is, you know, is fine. And it doesn't have to be any fragrance type of, you know, wipe. Just one that's a very little fragrance. But that's always good to have. I definitely, I'm so used to carrying so much in my set bag that I just have a little bit of everything. I'll have lotion. I'll have glycerin. I used to carry mascaras in my, you know, a bag with mascaras in my set bag. I had a little tool, I call it my tool bag, just a little small zippered bag that would have tweezers and like the little nose trimmers. It will have, you know, the small scissors, like the little razor things, the eyebrow razor things. You know, it would just have all, you know, those types of things like that. And then I would, of course, also throw in some eyelash glue in there just so that I have eyelash glue in my set bag just in case for some reason my actress's bag doesn't have eyelash glue. Like I always felt like I never had enough because when you get to set, everybody's asking you for everything. So you feel like you have to carry everything. I mean, it got to the point where I was carrying, you know, like Band-Aids and earplugs. You know, earplugs is something that props will give out. You know, I don't need to carry that. But it was like I was making sure I had everything that our actors could possibly need so that I don't have to go to another department to get whatever. You know, they could quickly get what they need. Because remember, when you're on set, time is money. You don't have the time to waste because you have to go, you know, to somebody else to get something, or you have to go back to the hair and makeup trailer to get something. You know, I always tried to make sure I had it with me. So that's why I carried so much in my set bag. But I would also carry like a small baby powder. Reason being is because, you know, the Dolly Grip will ask hair and makeup sometimes, any of you have baby powder. So I got tired of saying, no, I don't have any baby powder, so I would carry a small one in my set bag. But though, that's something that you don't have to have, but just to show you how, you know, some of the things that I did have. I would carry like a, what do you call it, like baby, or like a baby oil gel. Just in case if you get to set and the director out of nowhere wants somebody to look, you know, oiled, they want somebody to be oiled up and shiny. Like, let's just say you're in a, I don't know, there's a strip club scene and there's male dancers or something and they wanted their body shiny. You know, you do that all the time. So that was something that I would carry in my set bag. You would be surprised. In my little tool bag, of course, I would have, you know, nail clippers, nail files. That's something that your actors will ask for all the time. You know,
eye drops.
That's the main important thing. You have to have that, if nothing else. You have to have eye drops. Not just specific eye drops, but you also want to have the ones that are like the refresh drops that are just basically re-wetting drops, because there will be people who have contact lenses and they can't just put anything in their eye. And then there will be people who don't want some of the medicated eye drops in their eyes. Some of the best, just to save you all a lot of time, one of the best eye drops out on the market is Simply Clear Eyes. It's Simply Clear Eyes. And the one of the very best ones of Clear Eyes is the Maximum, I don't know if they call it Maximum Relief or Maximum something. It's like, it has like a little red label on it. And for people out there who know what glue drops are, they're made in France. They're very illegal in this country. But a lot of people still use blue drops, but the Clear Eyes Maximum Relief eye drop is better than blue drops. I mean, blue drops will get your eyes the whitest you've ever seen your eyes, but Clear Eyes Maximum Relief will do the same exact thing, the same exact thing. But eye drops are very important. A lot of actors will, and that's something that you may want to ask your actor before you start the show, before you start your, you know, your shopping, is to ask them what types of eye drops do they prefer. Do they have contact lenses? Contact lens solution is something you should keep in the eye drop bag as well. The little cases for the contacts, keep a couple of, you know, brand new packs of those in your set bag for actors who may need to take out a contact lens for some reason, you know? And they may need to keep it somewhere, because actors aren't thinking about that when they're on set. You know, they don't want to have to bring all of their personal stuff to set. But if something happens, somebody gets hit in the eye or they feel funny about their contact and they want to take it out, you know, have a couple of those little things, the little cases for them to put their contacts in.
Right.
And just think about a lot of the stuff that we're telling you, it's not makeup.
No.
We haven't even gotten really to that yet.
Right. That's true. And I mentioned lotion earlier. One of the things you might want to be careful of is that some people, and, you know, mainly like a lot of men, they don't want scented lotions. And then there are some women who don't like scented lotions either, but you have to be careful with that kind of thing. And we'll get a little bit into the male grooming kit in a minute. But speaking of makeup, I like to keep in my kit, I mean my set bag rather, I like to keep two powder palettes
yeah.
that pretty much covers every skin tone. So if you're working, particularly like when you're working on day players or the background, you have, you know, powders that, these powders just stay in my bag. They're always in my bag. I always have my Skin Illustrator palette that I could use if there's, you know, someone who needs like a tattoo covered quickly, you know, like maybe you miss something or you get out on set and the director says, you know, because sometimes you don't know what the actor is wearing.
Right.
Because sometimes they come on a trailer and they're not in their wardrobe yet. So,
right.
And if you haven't asked the right questions beforehand and you don't know that they have a tattoo on their arm, you get out on set and the director's saying, well, you know, we don't have permission to show this particular tattoo, so can you cover it, you know? So I like to always have something in my bag that I could use to cover tattoos. But, you know, but not carrying a whole bunch of stuff, but something
right.
that has enough colors that will help me take care of every, you know, whoever it is, whatever skin tone they are, and then something that you can kind of do quickly. Definitely alcohol you want to have in your set bag.
You know, you want to have, when it comes to alcohol, you should not only have your 99% alcohol, which will help to activate those Skin Illustrator palettes, but it doesn't hurt to have a 70% alcohol in your, you know, your set bag as well.
Absolutely.
And then with a lot of these products that we're telling you about, you know, it like you said, you don't have to carry everything in your set bag. You have to find out what's necessary for you and the production that you're working on. But even when you decide what you have to carry, you know, do the best that you can to put things in pallets, you know, to downsize a lot of this stuff so that you're, you know, you're not doing major damage to your body, because carrying these heavy set bags on your back, you know, on your shoulder can really start to you know, take its toll on your shoulders and your back.
Uh-huh.
And if you have a bag that's on wheels, that's even better. But, you know, sometimes it's not really easy getting around with some type of bag on wheels.
Absolutely. I mean, and again, like I said earlier, the reason why I'm mentioning this set bag is because, you know, we recently, you know, hired some, you know, they're pretty much newcomers to come on and just, you know, day play. And, you know, they didn't know that, you know, that you just tell them, bring a set bag, and they're wondering, well, you know, what should I have in my bag? And so these are some of the things that you should have in your bag so that you're able to come and touch up pretty much anybody, just a basic touch up. You know, you should always be able to have those things in your
You know, I mentioned a few minutes ago about I used to have a bag with mascaras in them, and
mm-hmm.
that was mainly for, like, you know, background, like for some strange reason, if someone needed to be, you know, their makeup needed to be kind of pumped up a little bit, and, you know, it's good to have, like, you know, mascara, brown, black in your set bag, and also the disposable mascara wands, disposable lip gloss, you know, wands. It's good to have that kind of stuff too.
Right. And like I said, what I saw on Instagram, I just felt like that person had everything on set with them, and it's not necessary to bring your whole entire kit. You know, your kit may have all of the eyeshadows that you own and all of the lipsticks and blush and foundation that you own. That's too much stuff to be bringing to set. So it's just important that you have a set bag that you pack. Like I said, if you're doing, you know, like some of the main actors, you can pack individual bags for them to, you know, to bring. I believe you should have those things that we just mentioned. So also, I wanted to talk a little bit about, because some of us makeup artists may not necessarily be male groomers, but I believe as a part of the makeup artist kit, there are some male grooming items that you should include in your kit. And I have a very nice long list, but you can jump in, Denise, anytime you get ready. And okay. One of the things, you know, first of all, let's just start off with your basics. And people might be like, well, does this really belong in a grooming kit? But I would say to always have deodorant, nail files. You know, you want your nail files, your nail clippers, tweezers. And then men also need, I would always have, like, facial wash, scrubs, and masks, eye gels, moisturizers, balms, a non-glossy type of lip balm for a guy. You want your shaving cream or gel, your razors, your battery-operated trimmers, nose and ear trimmers, even beard trimmers, facial wipes, like I mentioned earlier, facial wipes. You know, for when you're working with actors, a lot of times some of them want to remove their makeup if you put makeup on them. They want to remove their makeup, so facial wipes. You're going to, you know, for those who debull, you know, your different types of hair, hair clippers and that type of thing. Sunscreen. I think I mentioned this, eye gel or your eye cream. And then you want some of your hair styling products, like a hair gel or some type of styling pomade. Brushes and combs and that kind of thing. And, you know, for African-American men, when it comes to those hair brushes, I like to always keep soft, medium, and hard brushes in my kit. Mm-hmm. And I like to, before using them, I always like to ask, what do they prefer? You know, soft, medium, or hard brushes. And actually, some do prefer a hard brush, but good to have all three.
Right.
Beard oil. Let's see. Mouthwash, dental floss, that type of thing.
That's another thing, going back to your actors' individual bags. It's always mm-hmm. good to keep, like, you know, those, like, floss picks.
Mm-hmm.
In there, it's always a good thing.
And Q-tips. I forgot to mention that. Q-tips.
A lot of times you can carry some of that stuff in your actual set bag. But the reason it's good to carry it in the actor's individual bag is you can be on set and you know your set bag could be somewhere sitting near your chair. And you can actually be on the set, you know, that's, I don't know, 20 feet from the actor. And you don't have time when you're tucking up. You don't, if they ask for something, you don't have time to run back to your set bag. You need to just continue doing what you're doing and be able to give them what they need directly from their individual bag.
Exactly. And then some of the stuff that I'm mentioning right now is just part of your it's a, your male grooming kit, but that's part of your basic makeup kit.
Yeah, basic kit, right.
Yeah.
More basic set.
Let's see, what else didn't I mention? Can't read my own handwriting.
That doesn't surprise me.
Right. You know, tinted moisturizers,
mm-hmm.
which gives the skin a healthy glow, but it also helps to hide flaws and even out the skin, especially for those men who don't like, you know, foundation scares them, that type of thing. I think I said beard oil, but also beard shampoo for those with beards and things get in their beard. You kind of want to clean that stuff out. And then regular disposable razors. And I don't know if there's anything else you want to add.
Did you mention, I think you mentioned it on when you were listing stuff for Setbag, but did you mention like blot papers?
I didn't mention it in this list, but I mentioned it when we were talking about the Setbag.
Yeah. Those are always good for men, especially those men who don't like makeup, but they
yes.
want, you know, they want, of course they don't want to look shiny, but so those are always good, so you're not necessarily putting anything on their skin. Years ago, I had an actor who, he wanted a specific blot paper, so I had to go to the department store and buy these, I think it's Shiseido had these blot papers that he liked, and you could not touch his skin on set with any makeup. Even when
wow.
he came into the hair and makeup trailer in the morning, you know, he had beautiful skin, and he didn't want mm-hmm. any makeup on his skin. So we would, you know, just treat his skin with some skincare and, you know, things like that. And then he would go to hair or whatever, go to set. When you get on set, you know, if he was shiny, you could blot him, like with a like a towel. You know, we use like to use those blue towels or those white towels. You can blot him with a towel, and then you can just use a blot towel to keep him from shining. But that was it. That was it.
And
so,
and speaking of that, like on our show right now, once we make the guys up in the trailer, when we go to set, even though I may have, like, a no-color powder in this bag or something like that, but when we go to set, we're really not. When we're touching up, we're just using, like you said, blot papers, and we're
mm-hmm.
not even putting powder on them. And, you know, like, once the makeup is put on, because I think one of the guys that I do, his skin is pretty good. He just needs a little coverage under the eye. He's a little dark under his eye. One of the guys that you do have, you know, a few blemishes, but
mm-hmm.
it's almost like something where you could just, you know, put the makeup where it's needed type of thing.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, once they're done, foundation, powder, that kind of thing on the trailer, once they get to set, we don't even bother putting powder and stuff like that on them because they're already... The makeup already looks good. The coverage is already great. And all we're doing is just blotting, taking the oil off. And that's all that's needed.
Right.
That's all that's needed. It's not a whole lot of, you know, touching up with you know, with a lot of makeup. And that's one of the things you have to be careful of because we had, I remember an instance one time working on a show where, you know, like maybe you did someone's makeup, a lady's makeup, and then you sent the additional out to, you know, cover a person on set while you were, you know, working with someone else. And every
mm-hmm.
time she would go out and cover, you know, I'm not sure if she was using the blot papers or anything, but she was touching her up with powder, just lots of powder. And honestly, doing that powder she was putting on her, in some ways changed her look.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's why I like to just use a lot of blot paper and a little less powder once you get out on set. You know, only if necessary, only if needed, but, you know.
Right.
just doing the block papers.
Right.
So what about the basic kit? What do you think every makeup artist should have in their basic kit?
Basic kit. Well, definitely a foundation for every skin tone, however you want that to be, whether it's, you know, whether it's like a, I definitely believe in having cream foundations, especially for the work we do. But I just believe in finding some type of some type of foundation palette, or if you can create your own foundation palette, but definitely having that foundation for any skin tone. And if you have to do that with 17 different foundations in a palette, then do that. If you have to do, if you can do that with only 10, that's fine. You know, if you're great at mixing and you can do that with 5 different shades, then, you know, that's good for you.
Right. And some of the ones that I like, Toby and ones for what we do, I like Mayron's, the big palette that they have with all their colors. It's good for all skin tones. Now, that's a little, I guess with that palette, that puts, that brings a lot of weight to your bag. But I do
I said if you could create, if you could get something like the RCMA, you know, foundation palettes, or if you could, you know, the Kehoe palettes, or if you could do, you know, just buying an empty palette and putting your own in those palettes, that's fine too, because you can mix it up. I mean, you can have foundations from anywhere, anybody. You know what I mean?
Right. And Illusions Cosmetics, we're creating a foundation palette that will work well, you know, kind of a lighter palette, not a whole lot of heavy packaging, but we're putting our foundations and palettes as well. So, and as well, you said foundations, but not only foundations with various colors, but also powders.
Yes, yes, I was getting to that next. Definitely powders like, I don't know if anyone uses the Graftobian, have some great powder palette compact type things. I think it has maybe 8 to 10 powders in each. So you can, you know, you can probably, I'm sorry, I'm thinking more of the set bag, of carrying those in the set bag. But I mean, if you want to have them in your kit, especially like if you're in a hair and makeup trailer and that's easy for you, instead of like having like a drawer or cabinet or something with individual powders, that's great. I mean, that's great. But definitely powders. You definitely want to have, you know, a variety of different, like pressed powders, black powders, no color powders, you know, translucent, loose powders. You definitely want to have a variety of eyeshadows. And again, being that you're a makeup artist, being that if you're working on film and TV, especially in a hair and makeup trailer, I think it's great to have palettes, because you use less room in your space. It's always good too if you have individuals that you're able to like store them somewhere. Just being able to package properly to be able to store it on the hair, makeup, and trailer is important as well. But just in a basic kit, if we're just talking about a kit, if you're just, let's just say you have a Zooka bag and you're carrying a kit around from job to job, definitely you want to do as many palette type situations as you can, just to keep things a little light. Again, you definitely want to have a variety of mascaras, black, brown, waterproof, lashes, always important, not just the strip lashes, but individuals as well, because a lot of people will request individual lashes. You definitely want to have duo eyelash glue. And I'm saying just duo. I mean, if there's another eyelash glue that you like that's similar to duo, you can do that. But I wouldn't, you know, I would pretty much stick with duo or that type of glue. No hair bonding glue. Nothing that says, oh, your lashes can last a week or two with this type of glue. I would not do any of that. Those lashes are meant to be put on and to take them off, preferably the same day. I'm telling you, what else would you, should you have in your basic kit? Of course, you should have sponges, like the, you know, the little white triangular wedges, non-latex, if you can. Beauty blenders are always great. I prefer beauty blenders, but sometimes I just prefer, like, the non-latex wedge, just, you know, to kind of clean up, like, things like that. A good set of brushes. Now, I know there are a lot of companies that sell brushes that are very inexpensive, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, because there isn't anything wrong with that. If you find the right brush and it works for you, then go for it, no matter how much it costs. But we have to be careful nowadays. Like when we started, some of these companies that sold brushes that were, you know, you can probably get an eyeshadow brush for $6 or something like that. The brushes were really good brushes. Nowadays, the brushes that you get for $6 and all that kind of thing aren't as good. So just be very careful about where you choose to buy your brushes. Just because you can get a full set of 12 to 15 brushes for $10 doesn't make it a great thing. You have to really, you know, check into what you're buying. So, but a great set of brushes is always important.
I also wanted to, not to cut you off, but also wanted to say while you're talking about brushes, brush cleaner, and be very careful with the brush cleaner that you use. And I say that because I have maybe about a handful of brushes that, you know, they feel very, like, rough on the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it has come from the brush cleaner that I used to use. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you clean your brushes, you let them dry, you put them back in your, you know, your with your brushes, your brush roll, and then you go to use them, not even paying attention to the fact that this feels hard. You don't know it until you start using it, and then maybe the actor says something or what have you. So I say that, you know, to be very careful. Like now I'm very careful with what I use as my brush cleaner. Like some of the things that I used to use back in the day or even a year or two ago, I don't use anymore. So you just have to be very careful with your brush cleaners as well.
That's so true. That's so true. You know, it used to be a time when, you know, especially when you're on the hair and makeup trailer and, you know, at the end of the day, you like to clean your brushes. I used to like to take, you know, some type of cleanser that you can just, you know, get your little dish and dip your brush in a dish and kind of wipe it on the towel until it's clean. But now I prefer to just shampoo them at the end of the day. No more of this, you know, quick cleaning of brushes. I'd rather just shampoo them. You're not breathing in all those harsh chemicals. I just much rather have like a beauty blender type of shampoo or solid soap, you know, or London Brush Company, their soap. I'd much rather just do that than some of the liquid cleansers.
I also like the liquid cleanser from Cosetti Brushes. I love that cleanser. The lavender.
Yes, it smells very nice.
Yeah, I really like that.
That one's nice for sure. What else? Oh, my gosh. We talked foundation. We talked eyeshadow a little bit. We talked powders. Now, you know, as far as your blush colors, it's so important to have just a really nice blush palette, but again, a range of blush colors. You know, you don't have to have, you know, some of the things that we did, you know, coming up in this business, you know, we just love products, so we just kept buying, we kept buying, we kept buying, you know. Whenever this person came out with something, we kept buying all this stuff, the palettes, the, you know, the inserts for the palettes, and you bought all this stuff. So now, yes, I probably have about 3 or 4 really nice blush palettes.
but you really don't need all of that. You know, one good blush palette could possibly consist of, you know, 8 colors. You know, you can create it yourself, create your own, and that's all you need is a really nice blush palette. If you want to do one where you have, you know, 8 matte shades and maybe 8 shimmer, then that's fine. But other than that, you really don't have to carry, you know, all this stuff. I mean, I think I have too much stuff, and I think I, you know, I carry a lot of stuff that I probably really don't need to carry because you're not even going to use half of it. Same with your eyeshadow palette. Maybe have a really, you know, like 2 really nice, and I'm putting, you know, like 2 really nice matte eyeshadow palettes and maybe 2 really nice shimmer eyeshadow palettes. And I'm just thinking about people, like I said, if you're freelancing and, you know, and you're carrying your Zooka backpacks and your Zooka on wheels and you're carrying all this stuff, you really have to think about how much stuff you're traveling with. And that's why I'm saying you only need about 2 of this and 2 of that. If you're in the hair and makeup trailer, that's different because you're, you know, you're going to be there for a while and all of your stuff is, you know, at your little station, you know, you have a place for it. You leave at the end of the night and you're not taking any of that stuff with you. You come back in the morning, you don't have any of that stuff, you know, that you're bringing in with you. It's all still there on the hair and makeup trailer. So it's different. You can have, you know, 5 of this and 4 of that. But if you're going day to day from job to job and you're rolling stuff around and carrying stuff on your back, keep it as simple as possible.
Absolutely. And I guess, and I think we can end probably right there. I think the best thing to say is no matter what you have in your kit, just keep it as simple as possible. It gets to be too much after a while, carrying around a lot of product. Who is it? I think it's Kevin James Bennett who always talks about that, where, you know, you should be able to do a makeup, you know, basically with a small amount of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, I'm gonna always carry what I carry, if I can. But we should be able to, we should know how to work with a small amount of stuff, carry it because I feel comfortable with having certain things. But we all should be able to do makeup with a smaller amount of stuff. But that's another topic for another another night. But I hope that. The list that we gave out tonight has helped someone. Again, like I said, some of the things that I saw on social media this past week and actually, you know, experienced on set led me to come up with this topic. So hopefully it helps someone out there listening tonight. But that's pretty much our show for tonight. So let me just turn it over to you, Denise, really quickly. You always give out all of these addresses that you do.
You can follow us on Twitter. We are beauty_talk. You can follow us on Instagram. We're beauty_talk_media. And you can follow us on Facebook. We're Beauty Online, Beauty Talk Online Radio.
All right. So again, thank you for joining us. Next week, we have our product show next week. So join us next Sunday the 12th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And follow us on Facebook to learn who our guests will be for next week. So again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your continued support. And as always, be beautiful and blessed. Have a great week.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.